Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, we're talking books, books, books to begin the show today with our guest, Daniel Golden, back with us. He is the owner of Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee. He's come up with a list of books to put on your summer reading list. So we'll go through that list with him. And, of course, take your questions or comments, too. What book are you looking forward to reading this summer? Give us a call. Number's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. Ideas@wpr.org. Daniel Golden, welcome back. Good to have you with us again.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Well, I always look forward to these, and I've gone through your list. You have an amazing list of books, and I've put little check marks by several by several of them. What's the hardest part about putting these lists together?
Well, that's so interesting that you said that, because I was thinking about that. I like to come up with different kinds of books, and I read fairly broadly, but then I don't want to be too repetitive. The other thing is like trying to describe a book. So it's not on the list. Here I start, go again. There's this book called Swimming Back to Trout River by Linda Ray Fung. It's about a family separated during the Cultural Revolution. I couldn't describe it that well. I was trying to mention, like, there's all these Taoist themes running through it, and the language is describing words that don't translate in English. And I'm like, oh, goodness. What did I do with this? So these were books where I felt like I know what I'm sort of talking about. The key is here, though, you don't have to know what you're talking about to like a book.
Well, let's get right into it. That and I checkmarked the first one on the list. As a matter of fact, the top, it's a murder mystery, and I always enjoy those. Tell us about The Bombay Prince.
Oh, this, Sujata Massey is such a wonderful writer. This is her third book in the series, and her first two books were both nominated for major awards and won some major awards. Her new book, they're all about a fictional character who is based on two real lawyers, and she is the first woman lawyer in colonial India. And in this book, she is at a celebration where the Prince of Great Britain is coming to be in a parade. But at the same time, there is this early revolutionary moment. Gandhi is leading, starting protests, and a young girl comes to her who's a student at a private school where her friend teaches and says, I don't really want to be at this at this parade, but I don't know how to avoid it because I don't really believe in what's going on. And so she tries to help her, but of course the young girl winds up dead. The thing I really love about this series is that it's as much history for the historical fiction reader as it is for mystery. Massey had another series set in Japan before that, which also won a bunch of awards. They're just very classic mysteries, like all the elements you love, lots of characters, locked room elements, but bringing a different culture that is part of Sujata Massey's heritage. I wanted to mention the last one, which was called the Satipur Moonstone, was shortlisted for the Sue Grafton Prize, which is one of the Edgar Awards. Oh. Top-notch stuff. Very enjoyable. And I think she does walk that line where you don't have to read the books in order. The first book is spectacular, so I think you might want to, but you could start with three and then go backwards. It's not going to confuse you too much.
All right. Well, that sounds like a great book. And the next, it's kind of a history book by Malcolm Gladwell.
You know, I think you would definitely say this is my nonfiction history book from the pick. So there are a lot of interesting things about this book. First of all, it is part of a wave of books inspired by podcasts. So, you know, we all know Malcolm Gladwell from his New Yorker articles that turned into his spectacularly best-selling books about business psychology, social psychology, like The Tipping Point and Outliers. But he's really become much more interested in his revisionist history podcast, which is, I listen to every episode, but I'm mostly an NPR podcast kind of person, you know, but I do, I have, one of my, our buyers very enthusiastic about it. So I've learned a lot from that. And this actually was from one of the podcasts. It's really about, he's also very interested in World War II and especially air missions and bombing. And this is really about a philosophical divide during World War II about how to fight a war from the air, with the idea of indiscriminate bombing versus targeted bombing. And there's lots of research, but it is a relatively short book. The other trend, which actually hasn't exploded yet, this book was an audio first and then became a print book. So it's got Gladwell's voice. So yes, is it available on audio? The answer is yes. But I thought it was a really interesting story. It's disturbing because reading about, you know, if you're not in the right mindset, reading about war is very disturbing. There's people die in war, and I'm a, you know, and not everything is solved through negotiation. And I have nothing. This book is not a pro-war, anti-war book. It's a historical observation of how the war could have gone, and several of the characters that were LeMay and Haywood. Oh boy, I'm a brain. Do you know all your Air Force heroes of World War II? Because that's what I would kind of use right now. But LeMay is one of the characters who's been written about a lot.
So we've got a little history, and you know, I'm not a huge sci-fi fantasy book fan. It's not something that I like, but they seem to be a lot more popular. What do you got from fans? What do you have for fans of that genre?
Well, this is an interesting crossover. I do find that when I do Wisconsin Public Radio shows, there's always someone who calls in very enthusiastic about a science fiction or fantasy writer, and sometimes several. And they're like, Daniel, why don't you read these books? And I was like, well, I have many other booksellers who read these books, and I don't know if I'm always the right reader to judge whether something is good or not. But the thing that's interesting about The Chosen and The Beautiful by Niveau is that it kind of crosses over also from literary fiction. It is a reimagining of Great Gatsby through the eyes of Jordan Baker, who is one of the real characters in the book. Only in Niveau's book, Jordan is a Vietnamese adoptee. She is bisexual, which there are hints about her sexuality a little in the book. And also and this is a little more afield, she is interested in magic, especially paper magic. And what I love about this book is the way say somebody in Great Gatsby, there's a lot of class and old money versus new money. And the idea of new money is they earn their money in sort of ways that we don't want to dirty our fingers with. Well, in that way, in this case, it might be like magical deals with the devil, like literal deals with the devil. And people drink demonic drinks that are much like alcohol that is in prohibition. So there's so many interesting plays on the book. In fact, I have found that people are as interested from the Gatsby angle as they are from the fantasy angle. This is Vaux also published two novellas that were very popular, and she's been winning awards. And she actually lives in Milwaukee, which is really cool.
Very cool. Daniel Golden, our guest today from Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee, talking with him. He's got a list of summer reads. By the way, we have that list up. If you go to wpr.org/Larry, go to the program notes, and we have the whole list. And he's done a wonderful job of giving us a little fingernail description of each of the books that he has. And as I was saying at the beginning of the show, I have many of them checked for reading. You've talked me into several.
Oh, that's great. You know, I just wanted to mention with Nevo, there's one other interesting thing about this that I think listeners would like. This is the first time, like, books are going into public domain again. This was delayed for 20 years. And so up until this year, you could write a story inspired by Great Gatsby, but you couldn't use the actual characters. And you couldn't use you had to really sort of distance yourself from the plot a little. And now this book has gone into public domain, or you had to get permission, like The Hours and Mrs. Dalloway. Well, now Mrs. Dalloway is in public domain, and you can do much of what you want. There is a Hemingway that went into public domain. There's Edith Wharton. You can sing the song Sweet Georgia Brown on your radio show without worrying about having to pay royalties. And I know you wanted to do that. So.
Oh, man. Daniel Golden, I guess. By the way, if you have a question about a book, or maybe you've got one you'd like to recommend, I hope you'll join in. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our producer, Tyler Ditter, our engineer, and you, my friend, are listening to the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from Hooper Corporation, supplying custom construction services, including electric power, mechanical, and green technology, to commercial, industrial, and utility customers nationwide. Hooper Corporation, a Wisconsin company since 1913. Stay connected with the WPR app on Google Play and the iTunes App Store. It makes it easy to listen to WPR Live and read recent news stories. You can also hear WPR programs on demand. WPR is everywhere.
You're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio.
And you're listening to our guest today talk about some summer reads. He's got a great list of summer book suggestions for you. Daniel Golden, our guest, owner of Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee. Always fun to have him with us. And again, join in with your own question or comment, or maybe you've got an idea or a book that you are looking forward to reading, or maybe have just read and want to recommend it. Give a call, 800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. I have a couple of books set in Michigan on the list this year. The first is, Early Morning Riser. Talk about that story.
I'm a regional reader, and partly it's because authors often drive to events. And so we read a lot of books set in Minnesota and Michigan. And Michigan is fertile ground, as is Wisconsin, of course, for the literary imagination. Early Morning Riser is a comic novel about a young woman who moves to the real town of Boyne City, Michigan. That's a little rare. People often set books in real big cities, but they don't really want to get people upset because they'll know. But this is such a lovely book, and the characters are very quirky, but ultimately endearing. So she comes to the town to teach little children, second grade. It's her third job. They haven't gone that well. And she meets this guy and starts dating him, only to find he has a very, very long past with a lot of women. And so it seems like a romantic comedy, and in many ways it is. But a lot of the story is about what happens after the romance. And a series of twists in their lives changes. There's a lot of there's some drama, and it ultimately becomes a story about building a family, there's a couple of books. That's one of the themes that I love, is making, you know, building a family of your own, and also a ready-made family of people who aren't necessarily connected to you. She is so funny. You laugh out loud. I love laughing. Underrated in literature, but so important to me. Her idols are Laurie Colwin, who's a beloved writer from the 70s and 80s, and who writes a lot about affairs. So there is some sort of, you know, a bit of that in the story. Yeah. And Anne Tyler, and you can see the quirky characters. Bookseller favorite, publisher favorite. I rarely go back and read somebody's first novel because I don't have time. I have to read all the new stuff all the time. But I went back and read Standard Deviation, which is set in New York, and just as funny. The thing about this book is it just has so much heart. I mean, it's a book that you hug at the end of it. Anyway, the other Michigan book, I almost...
That's a different book.
Yeah, a very different kind of book, Firekeeper's Daughter by Angeline Bouley. And I have two reasons why I picked it. I know you're very interested in Indigenous writers, and Bouley does a spectacular job of this. And also, it's my closest book to a thriller. And I know that you like a good thriller. So this is about a young woman in college who gives up college to take care of her grandmother who's dying. Her name is, she is in Sault Ste. Marie in Michigan, right at the Canadian border. And she is part Ojibwe on her, or firekeeper on her dad's side. And her mom is, the Fontaines are French Canadian. Needless to say, the mom's side looks down on her dad's side. And because she's not an enrolled member of the tribe, she's a little estranged from the tribe too. But she is very interested in the tribal culture and uses a lot of tribal language with her friend who is enrolled in the tribe. And while she's taking care of her, you know, while this is happening, a series of murders happen in the town. They're connected to meth dealing. So there's the thriller element. The other thing that's so cool is, and I apologize in advance for my terrible, I'm an equal opportunity mispronouncer. Everything in English, all languages are bungled in my care. So I apologize. But she is Anishinaabemowin. Language is used frequently in the book. And this is the really cool thing. This book is a number one bestseller. I have two wonderful reps from booksellers. It's the only book I haven't finished yet. I'm in the middle of it because we're hosting Angeline Bouley at the end of the month. And what I found out is the language in the book was with the help of Margaret Newton, who is at UWM, who runs the Electa Quinney Institute. So she's going to be doing the conversation. I thought, this is just so cool. And I love language. Margaret has a poetry book called What the Chickadee Knows, which is in English and Anishinaabemowin. I hope I pronounced that right. I'm so sorry. Anyway, that's what's going on with that book. It's one more trend. YA is super popular, but it's aging up. So I think 10 years ago, you wouldn't have seen a heroine in college that was YA, and now you're seeing a lot of it.
Daniel Golden, our guest today, so much fun talking with him about his book recommendations for summer reading. He's got some great ones on the list. And again, we have the whole list with the short descriptions on our page, ideas at wpr.org/Larry. Go to program notes and there you will find it.